Hey, you guys, good morning. It is Gina Crash, and we are shining the spotlight on Baltimore Homecoming, and we welcome a couple of guests in the studio this morning. First up, we have Dan Shakur. He is the executive director of Baltimore Homecoming. Hi, Dan. How's it going?
Great, Gina. Thank you so much for having us.
It's good to have you here. You're a new face, and you're with a familiar face, who is Robin Lee, deputy director of Baltimore Homecoming. Welcome back, Robin.
Glad to be back. Thanks, Gina, for having us again.
It was Robin's idea also to include Chris Halliger. So Chris Halliger is an intern with you guys, right? And where do you go to school and what do you study?
I go to Towson University and I'm studying international business.
Awesome, you guys. So where do we start? Let's see. I guess a good way, well, we ran into one of my coworkers in the hallway and I introduced you guys to her and she's like, Baltimore Homecoming. Oh, what is that? That's probably a really good place to start, isn't it?
Oh, I'd agree. And it's a common question. only in our second year this year, people still getting familiar with what Baltimore Homecoming is and what we do. We are a gathering of Baltimore's most accomplished natives and alumni from around the U.S. and the world. Homecoming is returning for a second year to meet the next generation of innovators, artists, activists, and community leaders. It's a three-day gathering that's designed to reawaken and deepen personal connections to the city that will spark new partnerships and investments in the city. The idea is that Homecoming really wraps its arms around Baltimore in the eventual effort of driving support back to this city through whatever interests and passions the folks coming back to Baltimore have. And so in that sense, it is a far-ranging event that has a lot of different focal points, and we're really excited for our second year.
Now, were you there the first year as well?
I was not important enough to be invited at that time.
Well, I think that just goes to show the growth, too, of not only Baltimore Homecoming, but also you personally within, it's technically a nonprofit, right?
It is absolutely a nonprofit. Baltimore Homecoming's purpose is to bring people back and drive investment to what they're interested in. Really, we are a medium through which people can provide their support, resources, and really kind of move and explore the arenas that they're most interested in the city.
Yeah.
And so it's our job to help those folks explore what their interests and passions are, what's going on in the city, and then let them choose what they want to get invested in.
Yeah, and what's really cool, you actually come from an educational background, right? And so how did you get involved in Baltimore Homecoming to begin with?
So I am a native Baltimorean, and like many Baltimoreans, I'd always thought, you know, I enjoyed and loved this city so much growing up, but there was going to be something else out there that was going to pull me away. And so I got involved in education and really immediately felt the pull back to the city. And so I've actually been back in Baltimore for over a decade working in public education in the city. And Baltimore Homecoming to me was an opportunity to extend what my real goal in life is, which is to improve the lives of people in Baltimore. I love this city, and by extension, I love the people in this city, all of them. And I think Homecoming is the rare opportunity to take a holistic view of what makes this city incredible and allow people to plug in where they are interested. I was able to help in whatever ways I could through an educational conduit for the first decade I was here as a principal and then an executive director of a public school. But now I get to step into this role at Homecoming and really expand that opportunity for me to support the city. And so I myself personally and professionally couldn't be more excited.
Oh, yeah.
So this is really fantastic. And the event itself, I think, has already been in certain ways transformational for the city.
Oh, yeah.
And that transformation will only become more and more obvious as time goes on.
And I love that, you know, the nature of the show, The Spotlight on Maryland, is all about shining the spotlight on organizations and people doing great things. And this is such a great opportunity for the city to be showcased in all the right ways. And Robin, welcome back too. And we saw you at the event last year. Congrats on a beautiful event, wonderfully inspiring. And do you pretty much, did you start working on this year's Baltimore Homecoming almost immediately after we ran into each other at the first one? Is that how it works?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, as soon as we concluded the event, many of my friends and family were like, okay, now what do you do? And I was like, first, take a vacation. Second, get right back into planning the second annual Baltimore Homecoming. So it's kind of nice that we're now here about 4 months away and really looking forward to a lot of the new things that we're implementing this year and riding the momentum that we had from our first year's success. So I've been doing large-scale events for a long many years, and I love being in the second year of an event because the first year it's just like, let's just see if we can pull this off. And then the second year, it's really a time for reflection. You build on everything that you know you can improve on from the first year. And so we're in a really great place, and I'm really excited about where we're moving towards.
And what's the dates that we're talking about real quick?
Yeah, this year's event will be October 16 through 18.
All right, awesome. So who counts as a Baltimore alumni? Because, you know, we have a lot of people that we can claim to this area, but who counts as a Baltimore alum?
Anyone who spent a significant amount of time in Baltimore, grew up in Baltimore, or cut their teeth professionally in Baltimore. We're very inclusive about those who are coming back, mainly because, as you might imagine, homecoming is self-selective.
Right? Yeah.
So we send out invitations to individuals who match that criteria, and it's up to them to determine whether or not they have the emotional connection and interest and inclination in the city to come back. And so we cast a fairly wide net, but it does have to be somebody who has legitimate and important ties to the city.
Robin, I know you can talk about your alumni recruiting efforts and maybe mm-hmm. some of the new faces that you have this year as well.
Yeah, so we, again, this year have worked really closely with our school partners. So this year we're focused on building our relationships with the public schools as well as the private schools, high schools and mm-hmm, mm-hmm. the universities as well, to have them help us tap into their alumni networks for people who they think would be a good fit for coming back to Baltimore Homecoming. That effort has been going really well, and we've expanded to other network partners as well. With that being said, we have over 70 registered alumni already, and so some of the familiar faces that attended last year, like Doug Song, he was the founder and CEO of Duo Security, which was just sold to Cisco for $2.35 billion.
Wow.
Super low-key guy. He never wears a tie, and he's super cool. And then new alumni who were expecting to come back this year, he's just booked his hotel and everything, is John Schuerholz.
Oh, cool.
Who is the vice chairman. I'm not sure which one.
He's an important person.
Of the Atlanta Braves.
Cool.
Baseball Hall of Famer. And so he's excited to come back and have crabs with his brothers.
And that's awesome. Really cool. And after last year's inaugural event that we were talking about, what was that response like?
So as Robin insinuated, last year's inaugural event, you don't really know what you're going to get out of it, especially with something like homecoming. When you're trying to get people to come back to reestablish an emotional connection with the city, you go in understanding that this might take more than 3 days. And so the expectations for what happens immediately following the event have to be somewhat tempered. That said, homecoming has blown past those expectations in terms of what's actually been done and what continues to happen as a result of the first event. So a lot of people know about the $6 million gift that was donated to Thread at homecoming by the Jacobsons, which was incredible.
Oh, that's huge.
There's been in-kind support through mentorship. I know Tom Rothman of Sony Pictures has picked up that mantle. We have folks like Mike Rowe having a TAPCO Properties donate to Project Jumpstart, which is a workforce development program. And so there's been this really wide array of incredible support driven back to a lot of the organizations that were highlighted at the event. And this is exactly the type of cross-section that homecoming is looking for. Yes, we absolutely want to spur economic investment in certain sectors. 100%, that's going to move the needle. We need to do that. But these other opportunities that people are taking, like Judge Lydia Grigsby, she's picked up the mantle of mentorship, especially in connection with Bliss, which is a charter school for the Baltimore Leadership School for Young Women. These different places that people are getting involved in the city, these are the things that down the line are going to manifest themselves into life-transforming opportunities for the people involved and for the organizations involved and for the city. And so to have this kind of variety this soon after the initial event is really encouraging.
It is.
And it has us thinking about what's possible for year two. When James Shapiro and Nate Lowenthal developed Baltimore Homecoming, the idea was to absolutely have high-profile people come back to the city almost as a way to sort of signal to everyone else around the country that may be interested in an ex-Baltimorean to come back, you know, to get interested, excited.
That's like the face of it, and then that kind of lures them in, and then you're like, look at all this other great stuff that's going on here, you know?
Precisely. And this is the result of that wider network mm-hmm. being built, so that it's not just top-heavy with people that everyone recognizes, but rather it's built on this foundation of individuals doing incredible work around the country that love of this city. And so when you look at that as a whole, I think it's impossible to say anything but the first year was an absolute success, and what continues to result of it has been really exciting.
Yeah, we had the pleasure of speaking with them last year with Robin, Nate and Jam, so that was really cool. Now, this three-day event, again, October 16th to the 18th of this year, is, of course, invite only, but the community can is featured and highlighted in several ways, and one being is the Homecoming Hero Awards program. So we've heard good things about that last year and this year as well. That continues, and I love this interactive portion of things, and also, again, shining the spotlight on great nonprofits in the area as well. Can you tell us a little bit about that program and why you started it, you know, and what you got in store for this year's Heroes program?
Absolutely. The Homecoming Heroes program is one that, as you said, shines a light on incredible people and organizations in this city doing work that really needs to be amplified and put on an elevated platform because of its importance. Many times the work is generally, thankless. It's things that are happening in the community, people who know what has to be done in order for people who live around them to experience a better life, and they do it. And they don't expect recognition for it. They do it because they know it needs to be done, and they do it because they believe it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And we believe, as Homecoming, that it's absolutely incumbent upon us to use our platform to shine a light on that work. And so Homecoming Heroes allows us to do that. And on top of that, we have the opportunity to make this program one that is absolutely publicly sourced. So myself, Robin, JM, Nate, the Homecoming Host Committee, we are lucky enough to know a lot of people in this city, but we do not for one second believe that we know everybody and everything that's going on in this incredible city.
That's
and
right.
So to publicly source nominations for Homecoming Heroes means that we will get the widest breadth possible of the incredible work and the people leading that work in the city. And then it's incumbent upon the host committee, which is made up of over 40 community leaders, activists, presidents, and CEOs to come together and narrow down that unbelievably various list of people to 10 semifinalists. And the 10 semifinalists will then once again be put out in front of the public for voting so that the public once again gets to choose the eventual winners of the Homecoming Hero program.
So last year's Homecoming Heroes, the cohort of five winners really set the bar high. I mean, they are amazing, amazing people. And I do know them well. We know them well because they have this year joined our host committee.
Great.
So they're helping us shape the program this year as well as selecting the heroes this year. So it's kind of like passing the torch. But last year's heroes, the current heroes until we have new ones, right? Erica Bridgeford, she's the co-organizer of Baltimore Ceasefire 365. She's amazing. She's worked tirelessly to build these ceasefire weekends throughout the year to, just celebrate life. We have Brittany Young, who's the founder and CEO of B360, which encourages STEM education through dirt bike culture, which is something very prevalent in Baltimore. So it's a nice, she's gotten so much recognition since the homecoming to her own right.
Yeah.
She's just been killing it. So she's
awesome.
She's awesome. Alfonso Mayo is the founder and CEO of Mentoring Mentors, which is a program focused on mentorship within the African American male community. And so it's a cycle of mentorship. And he's really, really grown, built a board, started fundraising a ton more for actual growth in his organization. And so we're really happy to see his growth there. Major Monique Brown was another one. She is the commander of the Baltimore Police Department Southern District. And she's been just celebrated for a commander in the police force that is celebrating community ties and community relationships. And she continues to do so every day. Last but not least is Mr. Trash Wheel. He's our only inanimate.
I think he'd take exception to that.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he moves just in a circular motion.
Yes.
So the project out of Waterfront Partnership's Healthy Harbor Initiative, he sits in the Inner Harbor by Harbor East and Pier 5.
If you go to MeQ Pavilion for a show, right?
Yeah,
there,
he's right there. Say hi to his googly eyes. But his awesomeness comes from his social media personality.
Absolutely.
And his ability to speak to many through humor, but also speak to conservation and sustainability initiatives that we all need to do.
They were all great nominees in their own right, like as I'm going down the list. And even the ones that were nominated didn't quite make it. Are they still involved too?
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up because the sponsor for Homecoming Heroes in its inaugural year and then again this coming year is T. Rowe Price.
Oh, that's cool.
They have been an unbelievable partner and a driving force behind this program. And in the coming year, they are actually developing a capacity building an enhancement program for our Homecoming Heroes in addition to the cash prize that the Homecoming Heroes receive, which is $3,000 for winning.
That's huge.
And those semifinalists, those last 10 semifinalists from 2018 in addition to the winners, are going to be a part of that capacity building program that's going to be focused and tailored to what the Homecoming Heroes need to drive their programs and organizations further, to greaten their impact in the city, and to allow them to scale up as large as they want to or can. And so if we're going to be running Homecoming Heroes in a way that I think gets the most out of not just the Homecoming platform, but also the work being done by the heroes, this connective tissue between what the Homecoming Heroes do and the platform that Baltimore Homecoming has is a program that allows the heroes to continue to evolve and develop their organizations and as organizational leaders themselves into the future.
Yeah, that's great exposure. And also working with each other too in the nonprofit community. There's so much of the idea sharing and best practices and all those things that can help those organizations really get that exposure that they need.
We often say that there are so many unbelievable things that are going on in this city that this city will reach its peak, its potential, mm-hmm. when we recognize the ability to become greater than the sum of our parts.
Right.
And as you said, Gina, having these groups work together is a first step.
Yeah,
and so we're really excited about that aspect too.
So how did you get T. Rowe Price involved? I know they just did the big grant a couple weeks ago and are very involved in the city, and we're so happy to have them here. Was that something they approached you or you approached them, or how did that initial relationship get off the ground?
Initially, Baltimore Homecoming was looking for people to partner with them in different program aspects, mm-hmm. that spoke to the sponsors or the potential sponsors. And this was one where Homecoming Heroes spoke to T. Rowe Price, and T. Rowe Price stepped up to the plate initially to take that on as a responsibility and a sponsor. And so that first year was fantastic. The Homecoming Heroes aspect of the program, of the entire Baltimore Homecoming program, was the highest rated by those in attendance.
Wow.
So there is some real staying power and interest in this that goes well beyond just doing something good for the community. These people are unbelievable. Unbelievable what they do, unbelievable communicating what it is they do.
Absolutely.
And so their presence at the Homecoming was not just a nice thing to have, but it was a draw, mm-hmm. and absolutely was something that the alumni responded incredibly positively to. So that's how that initially started. And after that first year and that success, I think both T. Rowe and Baltimore Homecoming said, let's do this again. Let's keep the momentum going here.
That's really cool. And the reason I asked just about T. Rowe in general is just wondering if any corporate people in the corporate world might be listening to this and are interested in getting involved in Baltimore Homecoming. How does that work if anybody is interested in still getting involved in a financial way or that kind of thing? Or is that sort of something that you're always entertaining as an idea?
We're always entertaining that as an idea because, again, I think Baltimore Homecoming has been successful and continue to be successful so long as we understand that we don't know everything.
Right.
And we don't know everything that's going on, and we don't know everything about, you know, how it is this is going to be done to the best of its ability. And so what people in the corporate world or the foundational world can bring to us in addition to an interest in getting involved would be ideas that they've already got rolling that they could see the amplification of or the expansion in or the deepening of that Homecoming could help facilitate that and provide that. We cool. also, can also provide exposure. We have these incredible people coming back to the city. They want to learn about what's going on in the city. Again, we know what's going on in the city thanks to the conversations we have throughout the year. But if there are individuals or foundations or corporations that have projects going on that they think they'd like to get in front of these individuals, then that's another conversation that we always yeah. enjoy having.
Robin, bringing you back into the conversation, how can people get involved in voting? Has that gone live just yet?
Yeah, it is live right now on the Baltimore Sun webpage, which I'm sure we can include a link to. But right now it's baltimoresun.com/heroes2019.
We'll make sure that's a direct link. I'm going to also put this interview up on our website, too. So I'll make sure and do that. Thank you, Rob.
Well, it will be live until August 15th. So you will be the public will be invited to vote on their top five heroes out of our 10 semifinalists. And the five heroes will receive, like we know, the $3,000 cash prize to support their work or donate to a charity of their choice. They'll have the opportunity to speak at the Homecoming event in October, which is huge. I mean, there's a very powerful audience in front of them. And so that's some amazing exposure. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, they will have the opportunity to access resources through the T. Rowe Price Foundation's capacity building program. So we think that's an amazing opportunity for any of our heroes. So we're excited. And we're asking you guys, the public, to help us decide on who those five winners will be.
Thank you. Thank you for giving the public a role, too. And that the winners will be announced at the event. Is that right?
It'll be right before the event.
Right before
so
the
we'll
event.
Save okay. the exciting news oh, for just
event.
Before.
Okay.
But we'll all know the week of the homecoming.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's right, because they'd have to prepare. He said they might be speaking.
Yeah.
So yeah, they might want to have a heads up on that one.
Yep.
Okay, perfect. Well, Homecoming Heroes is one way that you showcase, you know, Baltimore to experts. But what else are conference goers and Baltimore alums going to be introduced to and invited to engage with the innovators, artists, and community leaders in Baltimore?
Basically, Thursday afternoon is dedicated to field trips. We believe at Homecoming that you can learn a lot about the city and we can put a lot in front of you that tells you about what's going on in the city. There's absolutely no way that we can convey the importance of the work being done in some places in this city and the success of that work unless you go see it yourself.
Right.
So we take our alums on field trips throughout the city to five different field trips, and that represents over 10 different organizations because, like we talked about earlier, we have organizations working together mm-hmm. to collaborate. And on those field trips, alumni will be self-selecting those organizations and missions that they find most interesting, that speak to them, so that they can go explore the work being done in Baltimore right now so that they can get involved if they're so interested, and also so that they can get back into the city that they really came back to see.
And what neighborhoods did you pick? Can you say which neighborhoods those are?
Absolutely. Like, we represent the entire city. We have field trips going to basically every quadrant of the city.
That's great.
So east, west, north, south, they're all represented because that's Baltimore.
Yeah. And we know what you guys did last year. You did a lot of good things, too. They went to visit the Center for Urban Families, Hopkins Fast Forward Lab, Station North Arts District. I remember that. Living Classrooms, Port Covington. A lot of organizations and areas to be proud of in the city, for sure.
Absolutely.
So you've announced some big name co-chairs so far, like Duff Goldman. Hello. Now I want a cupcake. And WNBA star Angel. How do you pronounce her last name?
McCutry.
So what kind of role do the co-chairs play in the homecoming?
So our co-chairs are obviously our most high-profile alumni. So like we talked about, they are the face for Baltimore Homecoming. They get other Baltimoreans to want to come back. So I think that's their biggest role for one, but obviously many of them will be coming back to the homecoming in October, and they will speak, you know, in some ways, whether it's, you know, on how their journey has been through Baltimore, what it was like growing up here, and things like that. And so we're really thankful for their support and for them just being involved with Baltimore Homecoming.
That's awesome. And then you have some other big names too, Dan, that I've heard something about. Senator Barbara Mikulski, maybe? And other folks too?
Yeah, absolutely. So Senator Mikulski, Lance Reddick, Mark and Pat Joseph, Mike Rowe. I mean, we have the list of co-chairs needs to reflect the eclectic nature of this city.
Yeah.
The well-rounded nature of this city, the fact that we do so many things so well and have people out in this world excelling, that we want to put that on display. And I think that the list of co-chairs absolutely does that.
And you also have an impressive and extensive host committee, too. So what kind of role do they play in the event?
So they help shape the programming. When Nate and Jam came up with the idea for Baltimore Homecoming, and obviously Robin got involved in that inaugural year, the idea was we need varying perspectives from people who are successful, who can see the entire landscape and understand their lane incredibly well. And so they sought out executives and CEOs and community leaders and activists and artists and everybody that you can imagine that has done incredible work for themselves, but that also has a very interesting perspective of the entirety of the city. They put them on the host committee and they help to drive the programming for the event. And they also have a hand in things like selecting the semifinalists for the Homecoming Heroes in between the two public votes and helping to craft things like the field trips.
Yeah.
And so they have a really invaluable spot in the homecoming process.
I'm so excited. The more you guys are talking about Baltimore Homecoming and all that you have going on, it's just making me super excited and proud. Isn't it a good feeling?
It's a fantastic feeling.
You have it every day, I'm sure.
I tell people I'm irrationally proud of Baltimore.
Yeah.
Like, I will absolutely go at somebody who has, you know, the gall to try to take Baltimore down.
Yeah.
And so this is an absolutely natural extension of that. We all are incredibly proud of the city in one way or another. It's all meant something to us in one way or another. And so this event needs to reflect that excitement and enthusiasm.
Yeah, it's given so much to us. We need to give more back to it. And let's see, you also, if people want to follow along and learn more about the prominent Baltimore alumni that are giving back, where can they go to learn more about that?
Well, definitely check out our website. It's BaltimoreHomecoming.com, so pretty easy to remember.
Yeah, I'll say.
And then follow us on social media. So it's Baltimore Homecoming on Facebook and Instagram, and Be More Homecoming on Twitter. Throughout the summer, we'll be posting, and we have been posting, feature short videos highlighting our former homecoming heroes. So kind of learn more about their stories and where they've been through those videos, and check out more content to come.
Awesome. And then BaltimoreHomecoming.com, is that where they can vote, or do they also do that on the Baltimore Sun website?
It'll be on the Baltimore Sun website, but you'll be redirected from our website. So you can either go to BaltimoreHomecoming.com or BaltimoreSun.com/Heroes2019.
Gotcha. So once you click on that, it's going to lead you to the right place where you can vote for people. Oh my gosh, you guys have done such a great job. I mean, if I thought I was impressed with you last year, and now this year as you continue to grow, it's amazing. And we should ask our intern, Chris Halliger from Towson, if you learned anything today. Chris, how are we doing?
Definitely. It's been an enlightening experience. One of the main things for me is always getting that exposure with the public speaking about Baltimore Homecoming, because recently I just spoke with a community organization about promoting the homecoming heroes. So seeing it in the flesh is definitely a whole different experience in itself, because I'm starting to see it from the professionals here. So I always love seeing people talk about a place that they love.
It's really cool. And are you a Baltimore native as well?
I'm not. I'm actually a Philadelphia native.
Me too. Isn't that cool? Yeah, that's awesome.
Something.
See,
small
I knew
world.
I loved you, Chris. I'm telling you. Yep. We hope that you don't go back to Philly now, right?
Oh, no. When I graduate, I'm staying here in Baltimore. This is my home now.
Perfect. I love it. Well, I think he's an excellent spokesperson. So, Robin, was that your idea to have Chris Halliger here today? He's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. He's always a positive light in our office. And his love for Baltimore radiates through.
Towson University International Business. And of course, Robin Lee has been talking to us, Deputy Director of Baltimore Homecoming, and Dan Shakur, Executive Director of Baltimore Homecoming. So nice to meet you this year.
Absolutely. It's been wonderful. Thank you, Gina.
All right, you guys. So go to BaltimoreHomecoming.com, vote for our heroes, and click on that link. And we look forward to October 16th through the 18th. And the Spotlight on Maryland has been on Baltimore Homecoming this morning, a production of Entercom Baltimore. Thank you for listening.